Mexico. T-Dub, you put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, October 30th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and crazy dystopic ride it is, to be sure. Things just get weirder all the time. I remember I've mentioned it before, but Chuck Missler told a story years ago about how corporate culture was different until fairly recently, around the Enron debacle or so. It seemed that corporate raiding and looting was becoming commonplace, more commonplace, and essentially corporate piracy was becoming the new norm. There was no honor or loyalty among thieves anymore as there had been previously. And we just seem to see that continuing. We've had about two dozen implosions over the last year or so, including large brands like Toys R Us, Sears, and Kmart. The latest, you know, the latter, as a result of, well, you know, one of the stories that we have talked about recently is the Huffington Post article, "Sears Didn't Die, Vulture Capitalist Killed It." And there is an excerpt from that story that I think kind of says it all. The line is, "The story goes far beyond Sears. Last year, about 20 retail chains went into bankruptcy. In most cases, the culprit was a hedge fund or private equity owner." And then parenthetically, "These two business models were once rather different, but are increasingly converging. and that sort of says it all. A parallel discussion would be the pollution of savings accounts by the repeal of Glass-Steagall, or the meddling in Glass-Steagall. Glass-Steagall was implemented back in the 30s to prevent gambling, basically, in savings accounts. And so when you see these kinds of stories, one can't help but be reminded of Friedrich Bastiat's words from Economic Sophisms, which is a very apropos title, back in 1845, when he wrote, "When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it." And so we're seeing that epidemic taking place now. Nowhere do we see that more prevalent than in the technology sector. And we have the rise of smart cities and smart this and smart that. We've talked about how machine learning and artificial intelligence are just going gangbusters at runaway breakneck speed. And conscience seems to be an afterthought. I want to get into the video I mentioned yesterday. We'll play some of it. Dana Ashley's video, "Information You Cannot Afford to Miss. Billions were spent to ensure you do miss this information," that is. So we'll get into that, but just as a sort of pretext, a backdrop, I think it's interesting to note that in Vance Packard's book, The Hidden Persuaders, published originally back in 1957, the chapter, there are sections. The first chapter is a discussion, a treatise on the depth approach. The first section, Persuading Us as Consumers, which includes chapters 2 through 16. And then the next section, Persuading Us as Citizens, which includes chapters 17 through 21. And then the final section, In Retrospect, which includes chapters 22 and 23. 22, The Question of Validity, and chapter 23, The Question of Morality. I think it's interesting in Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders that the question of morality is the last chapter, literally an afterthought. This, to me, is emblematic of where we are today in society. And so Vance Packard opens chapter 23, The Question of Morality, again an afterthought in The Hidden Persuaders, essentially, with the quote from W. Howard Chase, President, Public Relations Society of America, in 1956. He said, "The very presumptuousness of molding or affecting the human mind through the techniques we use has created a deep sense of uneasiness in our minds." And you read these words and it's just incredible, the hubris of these people. So a few words before we dive in. What are the implications of all this persuasion? And this is, you know, in a Bernaysian era, the outgrowth of the Bernaysian era that was built upon by folks like Norbert Wiener, for example, cybernetics, and then synthesized from there. Again, a great primer on that is Aaron and Melissa Dyke's latest documentary, The Minds of Men. And you see this concept of social engineering really take on a whole new shape and direction, a very underground effort to control and manipulate the masses, not just on Madison Avenue, but in the public-private partnership, the deep underground bowels and recesses of the what was originally known as the National Military Establishment, the NME, that Eisenhower referred to as the military-industrial complex. So continuing, what does it mean for the national morality to have so many powerful, influential people taking a manipulative attitude toward our society? Some of these persuaders, in their energetic endeavors to sway our actions, seem to fall unwittingly into the attitude that man exists to be manipulated. And so isn't your natural, my natural response to that would be, well, then you first. Why don't I manipulate you and see how you feel about it? It's not fun. No one likes that. It's disrespectful, as is later pointed out. Continuing, while some of the persuaders brood occasionally about the implications of their endeavors, others feel that what is progress for them is progress for the nation. That's hubris. Some of the depth marketers, for example, seem to assume that anything that results in raising the gross national product is automatically good for America. And that sort of, I think, categorizes what we're seeing, particularly in the technology sector. And technology is conspiring in many ways with other forces that are being brought to bear against people, particularly in this society, to our detriment. You know, where does it end? We have so many forces these days that are conspiring against us, whether it's the Federal Reserve, which destroys savings and wealth and labor for that matter, or the technocratic overarching structure that even Peter Thiel acknowledged is the sort of epicenter of power in America. That's the ruling power in America, that the technocratic architecture, these independent technocratic agencies. Or if it's the EMF and RF radiation and pollution, as we'll hear about in Dana Ashley's video, or obviously glyphosate and vaccines and heavy metals and those kinds of things. Everywhere you look, there is this conspiracy of converging forces that are working to the detriment of the citizen. And you know, we hear about all these special interest groups that are being played off against each other. Now, for example, in the wake of the synthetic terror event in Pittsburgh, the false flag strategy of tension event, I would call it, we're hearing clamor for what was the headline that I saw? It is my bookmark is slow for some reason. Naturally. Perfect timing. And now my browser's frozen. So I saw a headline this morning. Maybe it'll work now. That was trending, and the headline was a prayer. This is over at the Atlantic, a prayer for Squirrel Hill and for American Jewry. You know, and that's gonna cause some, that's gonna ruffle some feathers. Again, it's this beggar thy neighbor and the inverse. You know, beggar thy neighbor, benefits for a small minority, and the opposite of it, punish the majority for the sins of a minority, very few or one. So you see these kinds of things, but no real call to unification. And so back to the question of morality. Again, as you skip through the chapter 23 of Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders, you see that this question really is an afterthought to these folks. Just some excerpts from chapter 23. What is the morality of the practice of so Vance Packard is asking the question. So where is this all of this leading us? What happens actually to public confidence when the public becomes aware, as it gradually must, that the leaders of industry and government are resolutely committed to a confidence-inspiring viewpoint come hell or high water? How can you know what to believe? It is my feeling, he writes, that a number of the practices and techniques, and again, that word I mentioned last week, it was Jacques Ellul, actually, that I was thinking of. He wrote the book, after all, on technique, literally. Anyway, it is my feeling, Vance Packard writes, that a number of the practices and techniques I've cited here very definitely raise questions of a moral nature that should be faced by the persuaders and the public. For example, here are some of the questions. What is the moral? What is the morality of the practice of encouraging housewives to be non-rational and impulsive in buying the family food? And that non-rationality and impulsiveness obviously extends beyond just that, but this was 1957. What is the morality of playing upon hidden weaknesses and frailties, such as our anxieties, aggressive feelings, dread of nonconformity, and infantile hangovers to sell products? And from there, we could go into the, you know, again, Zeynep Tufekci's TED Talk last November, where she intimated that Facebook engineers had tried to see if they could program machine learning to detect the onset of mania. And it did in a way that they say they couldn't figure out. But if you can detect it, the onset, why not foment it? Why not engineer the onset of mania? Why not engineer the impulsive behavior? Or why not foment the anxieties, aggressive feelings, dread and, of nonconformity, et cetera, et cetera? Who's to say that's not happening when, according to Michael Kaczynski's work, in collaboration with Cambridge Analytica, he can tell you more about yourself than you can with just a few hundred likes, not even posts, not even information, because of the graph database model, as I've talked before, because of the relationships and the connections that are established by those likes. So continuing from the hidden persuaders, what is the morality of playing upon hidden weaknesses and frailties, such as our anxieties, aggressive feelings, dread of nonconformity, and infantile hangovers to sell products? Specifically, what are the ethics of businesses that shape campaigns designed to thrive on these weaknesses they have diagnosed? Doesn't that sound like what Facebook and Google are doing, the selfish ledger, et cetera, et cetera? What is the morality of manipulating small children even before they reach the age where they are legally responsible for their actions? And again, the parents, manipulating parents to manipulate children and vice versa, that's been going on for decades, generations now, and all the more so with these technological devices. As you'll hear in Dana's video, and if we don't get through it all, please watch it, because you'll want to watch to the end, including the 9 suggestions that she makes for how to combat this nonsense. But it's deleterious to your children's health and their children's health, you'll hear, to have these children using these devices. There's a reason, I think, that Steve Jobs didn't let his children play with iPads, as you'll hear Dana Ashley talk about. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
I want to continue with Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders and then get into the video and the implications. This is happening everywhere, as you know. The, you know, smart city initiative that's just happening. I mentioned Spokane, Washington is one of the cities that was picked by just, you know, half a dozen corporations and a couple of other organizations. In other words, a handful of folks decided all by themselves that Spokane was going to be a smart city, but I don't think people understand the health implications. Here's a fun article from the Daily Mail. The town facing a humanitarian crisis caused by the radiation from state-of-the-art street lamps. Residents have endured insomnia, nosebleeds, and even stillbirths, one local claims. So the bullet points from this Daily Mail article from April 10, 2018. Mark Steele is aware of three women who lost babies since lights were installed. One local resident gave birth to a deformed child that survived just 3 hours. Research suggests light transmitters prevent healthy cell and gene expression. Such radiation has been linked to cancer, insomnia, and mental health disorders. And by the way, we've known this for decades, but don't worry about that. You know, the bought and paid for studies obviously won't tell you that, but, you know, they've tried to occlude that information for decades. Continuing, past research found Wi-Fi radiation increases the risk of miscarriages by 50%. Gateshead Council firmly denies ever having used 5G technology in lighting, and so it's just misdirection. Anyway, this is emblematic of the sorts of things that we're seeing. And so these changes are taking place. You can do certain things in your own life, in your own home, for example, to mitigate the effects of all of this, you know, eco-terrorism, basically, the electropollution and all the other pollution. There are certain things you can do, but at a certain point, it almost becomes a prison. You wonder if the animals, the wild animals, don't look at us sometimes and say, oh, look, the people are going into their cages. Because that's really kind of what we build. And in a real sense, when it comes to this electropollution issue, you end up building for yourself a Faraday cage almost. Because what do you do about your neighbors, for example? What do you do about the streetlights? What do you do about these 5G posts or whatever, and the cell towers and so forth and so forth? So a change in the attitudes, opinions, sentiments, etc., in spite of all of the propaganda, is what is needed. And so, again, just as an aside, I am reminded of John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818. This is why I keep bringing this up. If people's attitudes changed properly, if this information got out into the middle class, regardless of demographic, regardless of political leaning, and people realized before it's too late, you know, you hear stories of mothers, for example, oh, yeah, I might, you know, I don't want to go through the trouble of worrying, you know, trying to fight against the vaccine schedule, and, you know, little Johnny and little Sally can't get into public school and so forth. And I don't want to be a pariah in my community. So, and then suddenly something happens and little Johnny and or little Sally are permanently injured. And now it becomes real for mom. Unfortunately, now it's too late to do anything meaningful in terms of preventive measures. And I bet mom would do anything to go back to yesterday and change that situation, but it's too late. So if this information gets out into middle America, into the middle class, before that happens, before we're all losing our grandchildren, or before, you know, stillbirths and sterilization, who knows? Maybe something good could happen. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Frontsight Firearms Training Facility? as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's interesting, you know, we have things like the Georgia Guidestones and information that dates back to Thomas Malthus, for example, that tells us that certain folks think that some people are special and they should live and others aren't, based on the fact that, you know, population explodes exponentially and resources only linearly. Geometrically, and so we can't possibly sustain a population. And you know, then there's the issue of eugenics. Some people are special, born better than others, and others are biologically inferior, and all of that is nonsense. And I've mentioned how the Bible expressly says that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. And that was a command that was issued after the flood as well. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But then that's only exciting if you think that eventually Jesus will return and the wrongs will be righted. Righteousness and justice will rule the day once and for all. And, you know, eventually, you know, all things will be put right, essentially. I guess if you don't believe that, then it's not as compelling a message, you know, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Anyway, we have the evidence that some people believe that some should live and others shouldn't. This is a mindset, an ideology that has sort of plagued civilization for the last couple of centuries, shall we say, in particular. And that obviously lends itself to the death cult mindset. Anyway, we have all of these forces that are conspiring in ways that never have before. You know, like Robert Kennedy Jr. says, if autism was a thing back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, where were all the kids, 80s, where were all the kids running around, 40-year-old kids in diapers and helmets in the mall? We don't see them. You know, we're hearing that the explosion of autism cases is due to the misdiagnosis. Well, you know, they just, you know, they weren't all categorized the same way. Really, then where were all those kids? I don't remember any. Do you? You know, coming from someone involved in the creation of the Special Olympics, I think, you know, those people know perhaps better than most, are more intimately familiar with what's happening, this explosion. So there are forces that are conspiring in ways that are very harmful to your health, to my health, to our children's health, to their children's health. Again, that's one of the things that we'll hear about in Dana Ashley's video. But at the same time, there's a corresponding push, a hardcore push, a full court press, if you will, to silence that message from getting out. You know, technology is getting faster and better and expanding. And at the same time, you see the encroachment. I mentioned IBM purchasing Red Hat, which scares me to death as much as Microsoft buying GitHub. It's difficult enough to maintain open source code. And now basically the open source community is being gobbled up by private interests, and nefarious at that. You know, IBM obviously has a very sordid history when it comes to things of that nature. Smarter Planet doesn't – it sounds terrifying to me. IBM Smarter Planet Initiative. You know, a company that – was involved in the numbering of people for their extermination, their planned extermination. That doesn't, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that company should be involved in doing more of that. And to be a monolith in control of all server technology, for example. Anyway, there is a corresponding push to occlude the truth from public debate, public view, public discussion. And we see that in the censorship efforts, in the, you know, the incidents, the high profile incidents that we've seen just in the last week, for example. And anyone who can be lumped into a strategy of tension, psyop, you know, Manchurian Patsy archetype, anyone who can be cast as being in any way related to a Caesar Sayoc, a Caesar Psyop, or Robert Bowers, I think is the other guy's name, will be silenced. And so that calls to mind the many books that have been written, the many voices that have spoken out about this. So one of those is Naomi Wolf. Her book, published back in, 2007, I want to say, The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot. She was, a high-profile Rhodes Scholar, I believe, fast-tracking feminist-type person, and then all of a sudden you haven't heard much from her in the last 10 years. Why is that? She was encouraged to read some books, some of those old books, Can't Happen Here. They thought they were free kind of stuff. And, got a stack of books from a lady, as I recall the story, who said, a family friend who said, you should read these. This is really disturbing what's happening here after, post 9/11 America. And she kept kind of dismissing and eschewing, and then finally started reading and got very concerned, and from there very disturbed and unsettled. And that was 10 years ago that she wrote her book, and it's only gotten worse since then. So the 10 steps she wrote, remember? A historical look at the rise of fascism, outlining 10 steps necessary for a fascist group or government to destroy the democratic character of a nation state and subvert the social and political liberty and freedom of expression previously exercised by its citizens. Number one, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy. Have we been shaken by imaginary boogeymen since September 11, 2001 and after? Number two, create secret prisons where torture takes place. We have those. Develop a thug caste or paramilitary force not answerable to citizens. Anybody read Radley Balco's writing? Rise of the Warrior Cop. We have this synthesized military, really it's a paramilitary culture and a paramilitary complex from end to end, from the front lines of the military to, first responders nonsense. So there is a thug caste or paramilitary force. And by the way, we have the highest incarceration rate per capita in the entire world. Set up an internal surveillance system. Remember when Bill Binney talked about how before 9/11, they were basically the evidence was that the surveillance apparatus was pointing outward, and then after 9/11, it seemed to turn inward, in on America. Set up an internal surveillance system. Five, harass citizens groups. Have we seen that happening? What citizen groups are left that are comprised of organic folks just getting together that aren't entirely coordinated COINTELPRO MH chaos psyops, that aren't limited hangouts and honeypots and, self-targeting groups? Engage in arbitrary detention and release, target key individuals, control the press, treat all political dissidents as traitors, and construe, for that matter, there's the old adage of construing dissent as treason. And that's basically what we're seeing, isn't it? And then number 10, suspend the rule of law. But that's not really what happens. Suspend the rule of law is disingenuous and misleading. What really happens in overtly tyrannical regimes is that these things become legalized. And I think it's helpful for us to recall, at certain points, folks like Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler have been Time Man of the Year. Yeah, that was before. No, Lest we forget, when was Adolf Hitler Times Man of the Year? And, you know, what happened shortly after that? So the evil just becomes legalized and legitimized. Again, back to Friedrich Bastiat's provocative observation in Economic Sophisms. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. And we have seen that in the legislative efforts and beyond when it comes to technology. It's pretty obvious that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Whether it's the Tectopus scandal, the wage-fixing scandal in Silicon Valley that extends far beyond, out beyond Silicon Valley, to the efforts to buy off the FCC and make it illegal to object to cell towers, for example, being installed in your neighborhood on the basis of health concerns. That's illegal. That's against the law. Did you know that? One of the things that Dana Ashley covers in the video. You can only object based on the unsightly nature of the technology. And so as she observes, it brings a whole new meaning to those towers that are sort of camouflaged as palm trees and different, you know, naturescapes. People wonder, why are they doing that? You know, just so it blends in? No, because that's the only reason you can object. It's unsightly. If you try to object on the basis of health concerns, that's against the law. Really? Yeah. So it's been legalized. And of course, we have the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, which makes it perfectly legal to propagandize the American people and make them pay for it. So just to wrap that up so that we can get back on track, again, this information needs to get out into the mainstream of middle America, the middle class, so to speak, because again, I mean, I think that Mike Huckabee was right 10 plus years ago on the presidential campaign trail, September 28, 2007, when he made that speech at the Council on Foreign Relations. It was a CSIS speech. No, it was a CFR speech at the CSIS, if I remember correctly. But you know, in that speech, he said, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. What do we see happening these days? Lots of sparks on lots of fuel. And then he said, a strong middle class is the firewall. It's obvious when bad guys are that honest that that has to disappear, which is why it did from the CFR's website, CFR.org. But he's right. A strong middle class is the firewall. And so back to what John Adams intimated. What did we mean? What do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. What does that mean? While the king and all in authority under him were believed to govern in justice and mercy according to the laws and constitution derived to them from the God of nature and transmitted to them by their ancestors, they thought themselves bound to pray for the king and queen and all the royal family and all in authority under them, as ministers ordained of God for their good. But when they saw those powers renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all the securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, they thought it their duty to pray for the Continental Congress and all the 13 states' congresses. Do you understand? It's a difference in their perspective shifted. And we have the same situation today in America. There are those who will argue, well, you know, I mean, listen to the debate that we have over Donald Trump these days, for example, even on this network. Well, he's doing that because. And so there were British loyalists, there were revolutionaries, there were folks on the fence. It's in ways very similar today in America. And we are being divided, we're being balkanized, we're being pitted against one another when we should be having civil discourse, meaningful civil discourse. And this information, again, should be working its way out into the middle class, far and wide, so that we can have an honest debate, an honest discussion. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of...
Until you use me up.
Welcome back.
My brother.
Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, October 30th, 2018, the day before Halloween. And again, it's pretty obvious to see things are one-sided. You know, where is the Day of the Living that we celebrate? People say, oh, that's, you know, Easter. No, that's a polluted, you know, commingling of things that shouldn't be, you know, that's a... Okay, it's Christmas. Yeah, same problem. Anyway, where's the Day of Life that we celebrate? Let's not celebrate the death cult ideologues. So from the afterthought, chapter 23, question of morality, in Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders, these questions, you know, what is the morality of manipulating small children even before they reach the age when they are legally responsible for their actions? Is that not happening more and more and more and more? It's very pervasive. Technology, you know, and it's gone beyond control in a very subtle, subconscious, subliminal, indirect sort of way to a very direct manipulation. And it's admitted, you know, guys like Sean Parker admitting this is what we're doing, and more directly, we want to stick something in your brain. We want to, you know, again, I mean, go back and watch the season one episode of Shark Tank where the guy says, yeah, we'll stick a little Bluetooth deal in your neck, right behind your ear, and all of the sharks on the in the shark tank are horrified. What are you talking about? Well, no, that's, I mean, what's wrong with that? That's what Ray Kurzweil wrote 10 years before that, and it wasn't a new idea then, so hey, what's the big deal, you know? It's what they want to do. So all of this, you know, the 5G technology, and I mean, it's already crippling to your health. The RF technology, why don't we stick it in our body since it's so good for us? Anyway, The Hidden Persuaders. And then to the video. Well, I guess we'll conclude at the opening of the second hour. Stick around. Be right back. Second hour coming up right after this short break.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.